chapter 17. He made me stony-faced. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. In the Bible, Ezekiel was the only man that God addressed as the Son of Man. God called Ezekiel the Son of Man, lest the wondrous revelation into which he lifted him up, and the high and holy places he had given him to walk, would give him too high an opinion of himself. Not only that, but that title reminded Ezekiel that he was subject to all the faults, human characteristics, and personality defects divine providence had chosen for him. And in other words, God reminded the prophet that he was still a human being, of the sons of Adam, and was neither a superman nor an angel. In chapter 55 and verse 8, God reminded his prophet Isaiah for his insignificance and earthiness when he said to him, My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In verses 8 and 9, in chapter 3, God continued speaking to Ezekiel in the vision and said, Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. In other words, God said to Ezekiel, I have made thee stony-faced and hard-headed. Personality defects that we call negatives, but which God considered to be positives. The Almighty made Ezekiel specifically and completely individual and did not leave his prophet to be merely a random genetic incident of nature. The psalmist David was well aware of this fact of life when he wrote in Psalms 139 and verses 14 to 16, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The pattern for a human being is all written on the first page of his book of life. Therein is written all the specifics of what and how each and every individual was to become, and that pattern was made according to the life purposes the Creator had in mind for him in his very beginning. It takes strong-willed men to accomplish their life mission, especially when they will be fighting against much opposition. Throughout history, men that would change the course of either natural history or religious history were strong-minded, strong-willed men. That does not mean that they were always righteous in what they did, but it does mean that they would carry out their purpose in spite of adversarial resistance. God will use such individuals to do what he purposed to accomplish. There are people born with characteristics and temperament that might be quite a problem for parents and teachers. Nevertheless, a troublesome child often gives more promise than a child who is so good and seldom gives any trouble. Determination is another word for stubbornness. It just depends on which direction it is going. The world needs men of determination. But if that determination happens to be contrary to what others want it to be, then it is called stubbornness. For God to choose a vessel and use it, it will be a vessel with characteristics that God put in it. And those same traits will be extremely important in regard to that which they are purposed to fulfill in life. That is true, even if those characteristics are obnoxious to those around him. Many times, some of the men highly acclaimed in religious history had serious confrontations with the hierarchy of the day. Starting with Martin Luther, and continuing on through John Wesley, on down to the present day, the list of hard-headed, stony-faced men of God is long. Many are the troubles church leaders have had with strong, determined personalities that were God's servants in the making. There are always people who can come and tell one how to do his job better, but God did not give to them his job to do. Nor does that mean that God's servant is going to do a perfect job. But it does mean that he is God's chosen vessel for the work that he is doing. God will give to a man, from the very beginning of his existence, personality traits and character traits that will be extremely useful when he reaches the job for which he was made, even when there are traits that men consider to be least desirable to possess. Looking over a certain missionary candidate's application form, I noticed how much emphasis was placed on how well this person could get along with other people. Naturally, mission boards do not want fighting and squabbling on any field. That most important question had to be correctly answered by all candidates that wished to work under that mission board. However, after spending many years on a mission field, and if I was on that mission board sorting out missionary candidates, I would not accept a man for a missionary job that answered that he got on very well with people. Such a man would truly be amiable and personable, but it would be doubtful if such a one would be strong enough to press through the usual opposition to accomplish a heavenly designed and inspired mission. A man with a vision and objective in life will often be unbalanced, strong-willed, and even perhaps prejudiced in the mind of his companions. However, God himself will balance him by using strong men as a counterbalance to him. God can quite easily take care of human errors. After all, any father is prepared to take care of the mistakes of his child. And not even the temper tantrums of an irritable child is allowed to cause serious injury to the family. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 76 in verse 10, "Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." His face was set. In the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 51, it is said of Jesus that when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. His face was adamantly set, and he was not going to be persuaded to alter his destination, not even by his disciples or his beloved John. When the vision of his Father was involved, he could be very determined, very hard-headed. Fortitude and persistence with determination are very important traits in a man. Whether one is going to be a musician, a medical doctor, or a fine craftsman in the economy of God. Many people have lost their way and failed to reach their life's goal because they listened and yielded to the arguments of others. They were not hard-headed enough. They were not able to come against their peers, Their mindset was not strong enough to press through the opposition. If a person is going to be strong enough to overcome the opposition, it stands to reason that there will be times when that strength is going to be misunderstood. Or there may even be times when he will misuse those very traits. There will be times when one will be strong doing something that is an error, when he thought it to be quite right. However, if that determination is set to accomplish what he sincerely believes to be the will of God, then God himself will take care of the errors involved. Because such a man is in the path of obedience, and his heavenly Father can take care of the mistakes of his obedient child, even when he, in error, does what he believes to be right. In effect, God said to Ezekiel, I made you this way. Do not complain or worry about how you are made and just go ahead and get the job done. Some fine people with unique qualifications get on people's nerves, but often those same attributes are just what makes them excellently fitted for their place. God made that vessel just like he is. Do not trouble to pray for God to change him, because God is not going to change him. He made him that way. So often the very things that annoy us in other men are the things that are so excellent when God gets a hold of them and uses them. A certain man God made loving-hearted and friendly, and one that will never run roughshod over anybody. Very personable. He is excellent at bringing people together. He is not weak, nor is he fearful, but he is a catalyst. And the Creator uses him just that way. Strength and determination do not mean hostility, nor constant warfare with other men. The people that the Lord does not put in hard places with strong opposition are the ones whose personality is placid, bland, serenely unperturbed. Also, there are the fearful ones, people that have little resolve, those who always try to please and have a hard time making up their minds to go where they need to go. Some of the things one sees in his own mirror and wishes he did not have are often things that God has given to him and desires to use, and perhaps even is using them already. God has set apart and made each one like he is, to fulfill the niche that he is supposed to fill. That does not mean that he is supposed to please everybody, but does mean that it is necessary to please God. Hard to live with. Smith Wigglesworth, a man of faith and of great renown. But he was impatient with people that would not believe God. He would pray for a man that was sore and limping or had his foot in a cast. And if he did not run when, after praying for him, he told him to run, he would give him such a push that he would have to run to keep from falling down. More than once, when people would take their crutch and try to limp away after prayer, Smith would take the crutch and break it and say, I said walk. He dared to act that way because even if the patient could not believe, Wigglesworth acted in faith and was believing for him. And it was evident that God rewarded his faith, even if not his manners. He was gruff, impatient, demanding, and quite difficult to get along with. After his wife's death, his beloved daughter took care of him for years. However, it was probably a help to her that she was deaf. In all of his healing ministry, God never healed his daughter's deafness. God made Smith Wigglesworth an extraordinary man. However, it is true that people have a hard time getting along with extraordinary men. The populace likes a few heroes and champions in the distance, but they want very ordinary men for neighbors. However, God likes extraordinary men. In fact, strange as it may be, if a person would stop letting people run his life, it would be surprising how extraordinary he might become. The ordinary man has a way of suppressing the extraordinary so it can be just like other people. Some people think that they must ever do and be just like everyone else. Anything that might be a bit unusual, special, or extraordinary, they suppress, so that they can get along with everybody, and all will say of them what good people they are. A certain man has a most extraordinary, simple solution to most things in life. He just cannot see anything except black and white. As far as things of morality and of the spirit goes, he is colorblind. Everything is either black or white, and there is no such thing as gray in his mind. When he sees something that is not white, then it is black, without any question. Which fact annoyed many of his friends, but they recognized what a fine leader he became with a single vision before his eyes. The Creator pre-programs an individual to prepare him for the purpose he wishes him to fulfill. He said to Ezekiel that he had touched his head and made him hard-headed, harder than flint. He was going to need it that way, because every leader in Israel was going to be against him, and he must be absolutely adamantine in his faith and prophetic word. The multiform differences of ministry given by the Holy Spirit are often the result of the very difference of personality given to an individual. One man can do something with ease that another cannot do even with much effort. A certain young German student in Bible college was as bold as a lion in personal evangelism and very successful at it. He was capable of stopping a doctor he did not know on a main thoroughfare and talking to him about Jesus in no uncertain terms. If most people did what he did, and in the way that he did it, they would get their noses readjusted quickly. He was most unusual in that he had such a bold approach to people and could do so without offending. He could just walk in on a situation and tell a man he was a sinner and why and what happened to a sinner and he ought to get saved, and the man would sit there absolutely stunned and listen to him and not react in anger. God says, I made you that way. I have made thy face strong against their faces, God said. Many people do not like to face up to situations. They will get out of it any way they can. God said to Ezekiel that he would make his face strong so he could look his fellow slaves right in the face and give them the message of Jehovah, which they would hate and reject. Furthermore, hard-headed Ezekiel would not withhold God's word to them out of fear of them. Most people do not like to face up to difficult situations. Even when they know that things are not going right, they will not say or do anything about it. They would rather shut their eyes and pretend it does not exist. Proper terminology. Father Bennett, a Catholic priest who majored in psychology, said to me, "It is very interesting to me that none of the terms psychology uses are biblical. For instance, God calls them besetting sins, and psychology calls them hang-ups. It sounds a lot nicer, doesn't it? The whole list of psychological terms manifest ways to evade the reality of biblical truth and cover it with evasive but nice-sounding words. God was going to make Ezekiel hard-headed enough to go plowing right on through the violent rejection of a rebellious people. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. The Lord not only told Ezekiel to not be afraid, but he told him he made him in such a way that he would be able to overcome his fears. Ezekiel would not be one to use nice-sounding words, mincing words of half-truths, or evade the words judgment and sin that people did not like. God makes the individual the way he is. It is too late to go back and complain to the maker after the product is off the finishing line. The very things that make one different are the things that can make him a blessing. Jehovah spoke to the prophet Joel to tell the people to beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Written in Joel chapter 3 and verse 10. If one is not strong enough to keep his faith, then, before life is over, he might well lose it or be talked out of it. Although we need strength of character, that does not mean that we have to deliberately fight with people or be quarrelsome. But it does mean one must be strong and be totally persuaded of his faith and divine revelation. I am weak. When Moses complained to God about his lack of eloquence and wanted him to send someone else in his place, God did not accept the complaint. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10 to 14, we read, And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Have not I the Lord? And Moses spoke again and said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom you will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Overwhelmed with the vision of the task, Moses said, I am not eloquent. Send somebody else. I can't even talk. But God said, Who made your mouth? I made you, and you are going to go for me, and you will be all right. The Creator was not pleased with Moses' complaints regarding the creation of his mouth. God said to Ezekiel, I have made you hard-headed and stony-faced. The situation will be very difficult, but you will be able to go through it. God is not mean nor cruel. He would never take any of his servants to a place where they really could not have the strength to go through it. I am afraid. Some people fear fears. A friend said, What would I do if I were thrown into jail and tortured? In Argentina, that was not an unreasonable fear during the dictatorships. A good many thousand people were cast into jail and tortured. What would I do? He asked. Actually, when God takes a servant into any situation, that servant has already been prepared for it, both in his natural and spiritual being, so that he can go through whatever God takes him into. If God does not provide a way of escape in a difficult situation, then he will provide strength and grace to walk in it. He has already made you, and the capacity is already imparted within. He knows his children and will not take them into a situation that they really cannot go through. That would be unjust, and God is always just. The Creator did not promise that life would not be difficult and that one might go through life without tears. But he did promise that one would be able to live his life through the help of the Holy Spirit and grace. He knew what was ahead in our lives when he made us. He made us with certain capacities and abilities, and he knows what they are. Many times people complain against God. They say, "Why did the Creator make me thus?" Paul answers those complaints in his epistle to the Romans and writes to them, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" That was written in Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. No changes accepted. Sometimes the complaint is against the way God made a brother or sister. Why did you make him thus? Some of the special things that God gave to your brother or your sister are the very things God plans to use and are quite possibly the things that are so upsetting to you. Often, they are the very traits that will make him or her to become extraordinary. When we set out in married life, we like what we marry, but we are determined to change it and make it even better. However, experience teaches that although a husband you are or a wife you are, but a creator you are not. Therefore, the basic result of all such effort is that there is not much changing of anybody. Do not get involved too deeply in the art of changing people, because it is probable that what most you want to change, God chose to give to them, and he is not about to change it. Mary Schlesser was the most intrepid and successful missionary in the heart of wild Africa. When she was yet in her teens, she went up to a bunch of tough kids and invited them to Sunday school. They laughed and made fun of her. One of them had a heavy laid weight that he swung on a string in a circle, and he swung it at her to make her duck and run. However, she did neither. She stood staunchly still, looking at it. It got closer and closer, and she just stood there looking at it, until finally it grazed her forehead, and she still didn't move. Ashamed, the young man quit. She said, "All right, I didn't back down, so I win. Now, you come with me to Sunday school." They agreed she was right, and they all did. Later, she went out to Salisbury in Africa, a place so dangerous and so wild, so savage, no white man dared to go there. There she went, and faced down wild chiefs that were drunk and furious, yet she made them back up. That was in her character. God made her that way. He had a special task in Africa for her to do. She was extraordinary. Our concept of a world operating in love is a concept of no one disturbing or upsetting another. God has not made our world to be like that. There needs to be patience as well as understanding for those whom the Almighty Creator has made hard-headed. Don't pray for them to be changed. Just pray that God gets hold of them and takes them into what he wants them to be and do. God knows the traits that he has installed in a personality and how he wants to use it. He knows the abilities, the talents, the strengths, and the weaknesses, because he compounded them all, gathering and assembling those traits for many generations as he compounded the seed of an individual human life. The genetic structure is combined and incorporated according to his grand design for the life of every one of his children. Happy is the man that can let God have what he made and do what he planned to do with it. Fear not or complain not about what he didn't make you to be. Just develop what he did give you. Be what you are and become what God intended you to become. He has given to all certain gifts that are special to their place in life and for the work he wants them to do. The more a life is consecrated to him, the more he will pick up those unique gifts and bring them to declare the glory of God.